It's time for the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. I'm Paul Ramo for Q92 Sports. This morning we will visit with area baseball coaches to see how their teams did this past week and what's on the schedule for this week. Now, the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show right here on Q92. And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio with another baseball coaches show. Well, we got a lot of playoff baseball for you today. This morning at 11 o'clock at Madison Memorial Baseball Field, we'll have the Junior American Legion Baseball Southwest Championship game between Dawson and Montevideo. The winner will go to the State Junior American Legion Tournament, which starts next Friday in St. Charles, Minnesota. And you're wondering where St. Charles is? Well, it's kind of between Rochester and Winona, right off I-90 there. So a good trip there for either Dawson or Montevideo next week. And that's an 11 o'clock start. Now, Dawson's in the driver's seat. They would have to, Montevideo would have to beat Dawson twice to go to state. Montevideo just has to, or Dawson just has to win one game today. So 11 o'clock, we'll be on the air with that from Madison Memorial Baseball Field. Montevideo last night in Madison beat Granite Falls in five innings, 19-8. That was an elimination game there. So Montevideo will be back in Madison here at 11 o'clock with taking on Dawson. And then up in Morris, the Madison Mallards will play for a trip to the state amateur baseball tournament. They'll play at noon today against the Mineota Mudhens. Should be a good game there, and Bart Hill will be up there giving some reports once in a while on the Mallards this afternoon. So good luck to the Mallards with the Region 9C amateur baseball tournament. All right. Well, we're going to turn our attention to the Rosen Express right now with manager Tyler Ottleman. Good morning, Tyler. How are you?
Not too bad. Good morning, Paul.
Good. Nice warm day again today.
Yes, it is. But it sounds like we have some relief here coming soon, so yep. We'll take it.
All right. Well, let's catch up on the Rosen Express. You had, a game or two last weekend, right?
Yep. Rosen played one game last week. Rosen opened up the amateur or the 9C region as Rosen took on the Chicago Coyotes in Madison at 11 o'clock. Rosen led opened the game on a hot start, scoring two runs in the top of the first inning, single by Nate Strong and a fielder's choice by Cole Weinkopf to get Nate out. And then Preston Kraft had an RBI, Cole Weinkopf stole second, and then Preston Kraft had an RBI single. And then Caden Mortensen came up and had an RBI single to score Preston Kraft. So Rosen got off to a good start, scoring 2-0. And then in the second inning, Davis Patzer led off the inning with a single. And then Mike Shakey got on by an error. And then the fielder's choice by Drew Boots, and then Nate Strong with just the one out had an RBI double to give Rosen a 3-0 lead. Well, then Rosen was cruising. Christian Canton started on the mound, and he went the first six innings not allowing a single or a hit, I should say. He had a no hitter going through the sixth inning, but in the seventh inning, Chicago got on the board with they let off with a hit by pitch, a single, a sacrifice, a double, a walk, a single, and another single. By there, they scored four runs, leading 4-3 over Rosen. And then the eighth inning, they tacked on another run. Rosen ended up losing the game 5-3. Pitching for Rosen on the day, starting on the mound, was Christian Canton. He went 6 2/3 inning, giving up 4 hits, 4 runs, and 4 earned. Walked out 3. Kyle Sachs came in relief. He went 1 1/3 inning, giving up 2 hits, 1 run, in which 1 of them was earned. And he did not strike out anybody or walk anyone. And on the hitting side, leading the hits, Rosen had 10 hits on the day, with Nate Strong having 2 hits in RBI. Caden Mortensen had 2 hits in RBI. Devin Boots had 2 hits, and Davis Patzer. Other guys getting hits was Mike Shakey and Preston Kraft with a hit in an RBI. With that loss on Saturday, Rosen is done for the year. And the overall record for Rosen is 6-13 on the year. So kind of a tough way to go out and with that nice lead. And Rosen, we were a little bit on cruise control there, but out of the 10 hits, 9 of them were in the first 3 innings. And after that,
wow,
we just couldn't seem to muster anything after that. So kind of a tough way to go out, but the way we kind of looked at it, we had... of our starting lineup, the oldest guy on the team or starting on the day was Preston Kraft, who is just turned 30. So we have a lot of young guys, and I believe 4 out of the 9 guys are were eligible to play Legion ball this year. So we're finally getting some guys graduating and from Legion and getting older. And so
yep,
we had a pretty young team, but the future is bright.
All right. All right, Tyler, well, let's just take some time here and maybe go through your roster and talk about each of the players and how they did this season. Young team, that's for sure, but, you know, it's a talented team, too. The guys love to play baseball.
Yes, we have a lot of guys that like to play ball and try to get better. And, you know, we had 19 guys on the roster this year. We can go over some of the stats, I can say. Leading the team in hitting was Caden Mortensen. He was pretty busy the first half of the season with going to state in high school. And then we didn't really have him too often in the summertime, but when he did, he came hitting. He led the team in hitting with a .370 batting average and almost a .500 on base. And he only had 30 at bats, so wasn't many at bats. But when he came to hit. Another guy, Mike Shakey, he was second on the team in batting at .315. He had 32 at bats, but he's another guy where he doesn't get too many at bats because usually he's on the mound pitching. Shakey also pitched, and he was second on the team in innings pitched with 33 innings. Giving up a 3.8 ERA. So I can quick look it up. Mike Shakey has been pitching for quite a while for Rosen. And in his career, Mike Shakey has thrown 133 innings for Rosen. So he's been around a while, and he's been throwing quite a bit for us. Also in hitting, Davis Patzer was third on the team. He's kind of the same situation with Caden Mortensen. Had the high school run and the nice Legion run they had. He batted .304. And a new guy on the team, Cole Weinkauf, batted .300. We also, leading Rosen in hits overall was Drew Boots. He had 21 hits on the year, batting .300. And speaking of Drew Boots, I'd like to, if you don't mind, have a little shout-out to the Big Stone Legion team. They made state in South Dakota, and they're playing down by Salem, South Dakota, which is kind of by Sioux Falls, just a little bit west of Sioux Falls, and they play, I believe they play today, if I'm not mistaken, it's at noon. So,
okay. Oh, wow.
They took on Del Rapids, and they lost 10-0, but they were going in the fifth inning, they were 2-0. So Drew Boots had 2 hits on the day. It seems like that's all that kid does is get hits. So,
yep.
Good luck to the Big Stone or Legion team, I should say. They take on, I believe they play Groton today. So,
okay.
And also, I keep going on the list. Liam MacArthur, he was a kid that signed with us this year. Wasn't sure what to expect, and I don't have the right stats, but I believe he's probably the first one, for sure the first high school kid to have his debut having 5 hits in a game.
Wow.
When we played Cottonwood down in Cottonwood, he went 5 for 5, and his on base finally got below 500, I would say, right after the 4th of July. He was kind of an on base machine. He led the team in walks with 10, and he had 4 hit by pitches. He also led the team in RBI, or tied for the team leading RBI with Nate Strong.
Was that his first year on the team?
Yes, it is. Yep. And he was our primary catcher, so he kind of did a little bit of everything down for Canby. He played third base, outfield, and caught, but their main catcher. So,
okay,
a great start to see, you know, for a young kid like that. He just graduated also. Also, Evan Ingesmo was right below him in batting average. It was nice to see Evan. He had a little bit of a tough year towards the end of the stretch, but this year, from last year, but rebounded. He had improved his batting average by 50 points and batted .244. So it was good to see Evan come back with a good year. And he plays shortstop, him and Mike Shakey. So when Shakey's on the mound, it's Evan Ingesmo is on at shortstop, and he's a pretty good glove shortstop. And then Devin Boots is right by him, and Preston Kraft are both tied for 8th players in batting average for Rosen, .240. And Christian Canton was 10th at .238. Kind of, he was batting .300 all year until towards the end of the year. He just kind of petered off a little bit. And then Nate Strong, one of the top hitters on our team, had a little bit of a down year, batting .233. So, and then after that, we have Isaac Kirchberg and myself and Jay Sigler batting around .200. And then Jacob Motz and Kyle Sachs rounding off the rest of the squad.
Okay.
Pitching stat side, I can say, Christian Canton led the team in 40 innings. He had a 4.5 ERA. And then Devin Boots. It doesn't really show, but Devin Boots, he threw 31 innings for us. That's the most he's thrown for us. He's had some arm problems the last few years, but he had a 5.2 ERA. But I would say it's a little deceiving because it always seemed like he faced the tougher teams. He faced the Morrises, Morris and Dumont, and they both can put the ball in play, and they're both good hitting teams. So he always kind of faced the tougher teams. And then throwing 20 innings is Evan Ingesmo. He had a 4.5 ERA. Kyle Sachs threw 5 innings with a 1.9 ERA. And Cole Weinkauf threw almost 5 innings with a 9 ERA. So that's the Rosen Express.
Okay.
And stats.
All right. I know you like stats, Tyler. You do a good job with them.
Yeah, I got all different sorts of numbers. It's kind of hard to talk about, I guess, kind of explain on the radio. But
how did you do this year for the Rosen Express?
A little bit of a down year, but I mean, as being Sex, being the old guy on the team, I batted .185, but kind of petered down the end. I had 3 hits in Cottonwood, and I had a hit in Benson. And one other time, but kind of petered down the stretch, I would say, and had a couple stolen bases. It was is I keep racking up stolen bases, even though I'm getting older, still getting there. So
still getting the job done.
Yes. If you're talking stats, kind of a couple impressive things is looking our pitching kind of ERA kind of ballooned up from last year, but the impressive thing that I keep telling our guys is from last year to this year, Rosen. Our batting average went up 45 points for batting average, and for on base, it went up it went up 55 points. So I keep telling the guys that it's only going to get better with a young team. It's in this league, it seems to be, if you look at Madison, they have a bunch of veterans on the team. Morris, they have always talented. Dumont, Mignota, they're all older. So as a young team,
yep,
it's good to see the improvement in batting average from year to year and on base from year to year. So just a little bit of a tough stretch, but it was a couple things to improve on. We went from last year, we were the 10th seed, and now this year we're the 9th seed. We had a couple more wins from last year to this year. So
good.
A couple things to look up. So.
It's a big
small improvements.
Right. It's a big difference from high school ball to town ball, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And like I said, we had five kids that were eligible to play Legion ball this year, and four out of the five will be moving on from Legion ball. So that's going to be a big difference. They're going to college, and it's just, you get a little bit more mature, you know.
Right.
You're just body-wise, and we didn't really have many doubles and home runs compared to the last few years, but you know, you get a little bit more strength when you get older, so things to look forward to.
Yeah. Who's the oldest guy, did you say, on the Rosen Express?
Kyle Sachs is the oldest.
Okay.
He's at 41 years old.
How about in the whole league there, Tyler Hutt? Do you know anybody that's older than Kyle then? There's a few of them, I'm guessing.
The only one that could maybe... the next one, I think, maybe be... Mike Holloman, I would say, is the oldest. He still plays, I know, and he's 52 or 53. So, but he's kind of a unique... You know, he's pretty unique, I would say.
Yep.
So...
Yep. And he plays for...
Clinton,
yeah. Okay, all right,
yep.
Good.
Another older guy would be Kirby Marquardt from Morris. He's kind of right around that mid-40s, I would say. So Kyle is actually eligible. They have a 35 and older league. Then I'm not sure, I didn't really hear much, but they used to have it up in Morris,
okay.
A team. And a couple of years ago, I know they did very well. I believe they went to state, if I'm not mistaken. So, but... We don't really have too many guys that are close to that age.
Yep, well,
so.
It's a learning experience this year, and you just get better, you keep the team together, and good things will happen. So, anything else
right.
You want to talk about, Tyler?
I just want to thank a few people, if you don't mind.
Yep.
Pretty much, for sure, I better lead off by thanking my wife for letting me do this for another year. She gets to wrangle the kids around, this has helped a little bit this year. My daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, helped out doing Batgirl duties, and
oh, for fun.
She loved that.
Yeah.
So she really picked up on a lot of things, and she loved it. And she's got to tame her down a little bit now. She has an 8-and-under softball team. You can tell she's been picking up a lot of things from us guys, and she's yelling at her own players and telling them what to do, and you got to be throwing this base, and so she. She's learning a lot, so that's always fun to see.
All right, good.
I want to thank
What was her name?
Kenley Alleman.
Okay.
Would be her name.
Yeah.
So she loved doing bat duty and getting the bats and hanging out with the team. And so she was looking forward to it. She's a little sad that we lost because we didn't have to. We weren't going back on Sunday to Madison or going up to Morris this weekend. And she already asked before we even left Madison if she could do it again next year, so... The team, they enjoyed her having her around. So
good.
And also want to thank pretty much everybody around Rowe, the fans, for showing up all year. And Trent Rademacher, Mickey Rademacher, and Robin Rademacher. They do a lot around the field and keeping the field up to date. So appreciate that. It keeps my job a lot easier by not having to deal with all the work they do around the ball field and keeping the thing running and keeping the field up to date. So, as I see, also kind of a shout out to Bar Hill. I thought I seen something that he's retiring from doing the field duties in Madison.
Right. Yeah, so Bart's gonna be missed. That's for sure.
Yes, he will. I mean, it's one of those things. Some of these players, you know, I don't think they realize all the work that, yeah, like Bart and Trent and Robin. I mean, what they do at the ball field. It's not just show up a couple hours and get it ready. It's a 5 or 6 day process getting the field ready and keeping it up to date. So a lot of maintenance that's done at these ball fields. So yeah, he will be missed for sure.
Okay. All right, Tyler. Well, I appreciate you reporting on the Rosen Express this summer, and I know you do a great job. And I always tell you, me and you will have to do an hour-long show because you told us a couple weeks ago you have kept all the stats from Rosen, whoever played on Rosen ever in the history, right?
Yes, I have. I mean, that might be one of those where it's in studio because, I mean, if you sit there and look at it, it's a lot of... A lot of numbers, a lot of interesting stats. I mean, I have it down for total, and I have it down for year by year. So we can go look up Brandon's stats.
Yeah, my son's stats.
You come look, yeah.
I don't know if he wants to hear them though.
Well, I've been told a couple things. I've been told that people they'll pay me to see the stats, and I've been told that they'll pay me for me not to mention their stats. So it's gone both ways.
For sure, we got to get together and do that. That sounds fun. So, all right, Tyler, thanks again for reporting on the Rosen Express this summer.
Yep, no problem, man. Thanks for keeping everybody up to date on the Rosen Express. I know a lot of people, you know, in the area like to hear that, so okay. I appreciate it.
All right, talk to you next summer.
Yep, sounds good. See you, Paul.
Yep, Tyler Adelman of the Rosen Express. We'll continue with the Baseball Coaches Show and talk to Matt Munson, manager player from the with the Madison Mallards, right after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-738. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, top sirloin, prime and choice, $9.99 a pound. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
This morning, Q92 Sports has Junior American Legion Baseball Playoffs. It's the championship game in the Southwest Division. Dawson will play Montevideo for the right to go to the Junior State Legion Tournament next week in St. Charles, Minnesota. First pitch, 11 o'clock from Madison Memorial Baseball Field. That's Dawson and Montevideo in Junior American Legion Baseball Playoffs.
Welcome back to the Baseball Coaches Show. Let's talk with Matt Munson. Matt's the manager of the Madison Mallards, who had a tremendous weekend last weekend, Matt, and looking for another nice weekend this weekend with wins, right?
Yep, yeah. We survived last weekend with two wins. You know, it was some pretty hot weather, but all day of baseball, some fun baseball games were played, and hopefully we can get after it this weekend as well.
That's right. It was hot. It wasn't as hot as they said it was going to be last weekend, but...
I don't know. It's still hot to me. It's,
well, I was in air-conditioned press box.
So. Yeah, no, I guess for the guys that were there working at about 7 or 9 a.m. and through the whole evening, it sure felt warm. I know there was a time period on Sunday for about an hour or so where it actually felt reasonably for temperature-wise, but then I think it was about 4:30 or 5 o'clock the sun came out, and it got toasty again on Sunday. But
that's right. Last weekend, Madison Memorial Baseball Field hosted four games on Saturday and then four on Sunday.
Yep. So, two full days of baseball, good baseball played amongst all the games. And it was a very successful first weekend in tournament that we had. So, we're very thankful to everyone that had a part in that. And I guess it's always fun to play at home, too. So, and then at beautiful Madison Memorial Field makes it even better.
All right. Well, Matt, let's talk about those two wins last weekend, and then we'll preview today's game.
Yep. So first game that we had was Saturday night, and that was against Appleton, which is a very familiar foe to us. It's with all these kids knowing each other and going to the same school. And, I think we've opened with Appleton the last three or four years in the region tournament, too. So it's a game that just continues to repeat itself over and over and over again. But
when I was doing the game, I realized that all the players, all the starters in the lineup, were former La Caprile Valley baseball players.
Yep. It's very
most
cool. Yep.
Maybe not you.
No, I was. Of course I was.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, I know Appleton gets a few Montevideo players, too, but I don't know if any of them were around. But, it was all La Caprile graduates in the lineup. So it makes it a lot of fun, nice little rivalry. And, we play them many times in the region tournament in years past. And, we've always been on the favorable outcome side of it. But, credit to Appleton this time, they didn't make it easy on us at all. So, their lineup's filled with a lot of athletes, a lot of baseball players. And, they gave us a good run for our money. But, game did go to extra innings. We ended up pulling out with a 6-5 victory. But, Appleton kind of had us on the ropes early, and it took us a while to respond. Wyatt Halverson started on the mound with us, for us. Whether it was Brandon Bornhorst, Wyatt, or Avery, I feel very confident in any one of those three pitchers to go out and win a game for us. But, they were able to get after Wyatt early with some hits and some walks and, errors as well. But, they were getting guys on base, and they were putting pressure on us and making good contact with their bats. And, they got a run early in the first inning, and they tacked on a couple more in the fourth. So we were down 3-0 heading into the fifth. Before we were able to score a couple runs, start making it a game again, try to feel a little bit more confident in ourselves. And then we were able to push a run across in the eighth inning. Or sixth inning, we got a couple runs and then tacked on another one in eighth to move up 5-3. But, ninth inning came around. It felt like we were rolling, felt good. But, a couple defensive miscues, hit-by-pitch walk. And Appleton was able to score a couple runs, and all of a sudden we had a tie ball game, and we had to get ourselves out of a jam. So we were able to stick with it, get through that. Brandon Hill came in and got through the top of the 10th, 1-2-3. And then in the 10th inning, Evan Kells, he led off the inning with a single. I'm able to get him over with a hit-by-pitch, and then a batter later, Caden Fernals came up with first and second, and Matt Arndt pinch running for Evan, and Caden laced a base hit, and Matt Arndt was able to score the winning run. So, it had us, our nerves working a little bit, but we were able to get that first victory, 6-5 over Appleton in that elimination game.
All right, yeah, big hit there by Fernals in the bottom of the 10th for the win. So you got some stats there, Matt?
Yep. So Landon Sherm had a hit. Brandon Hill had two hits and two RBI. Carter Amlin had a hit and an RBI. Dylan Lilliard had a hit, run scored and a couple walks. Evan Kells had two hits and scored two runs. Then, of course, Caden Fernals with that game-winning hit. He kind of got a shaky start first couple at-bats, but was able to come through late for us. He had two hits, a run, and then the two RBIs and that go-ahead, or that winning RBI in the 10th. So it was pretty awesome to see. I know he was happy with the season that he had to come up to big in that moment. And you know, Wyatt, he had gone five innings on the mound, and then we went to Avery Whitnabel, who threw well, ended up having a little bit of elbow trouble or a little scare, I think just with a nerve here in the ninth inning or top of tenth. And but Brandon Hill finished it for us, and, you know, with two Ks, and, you know, with our pitching staff and some guys that can throw relief, you have all the confidence in them, and they came through for us, so it was nice.
All right, good win. That you want to stay in the winner's bracket.
Yep, want to stay in the winner's bracket as long as possible, and especially with the change this time. If you didn't stay in the winner's bracket, you were done.
Well, that was the first
round. So that was an elimination game, but yeah, which was different from prior years. But, you know, so I thought so. Yep. So we came out on top in that one, and then that pushed us to Sunday, where, you know, another familiar foe that seems like we keep playing year after year in the playoffs. The Dumont Saints on Sunday night, we had to face them, and you know, turned out for a win with us as well in that game.
All right, let's talk about that Dumont game on Sunday.
Yep, so Dumont game, you know, Dumont throwing Jordan Roos, you know, he's got plenty of state baseball experience. You know, Dumont's been going to state for a number of years now, and Jordan's actually had a lot of success in the state tournament, which is, you know, good for the Atlanta Ducks and good for our region with him being a quality pitcher. But, you know, with facing him, you know, Landon Sherm, our leadoff hitter, you know, we continue to say good things about him week after week. You know, he's a quality center fielder, gets on base, steals bases for us. But he had a tremendous day at the plate. He led off the game with a double, was able to end up putting a run on the board later on in the inning with a sac fly, so we were able to go up 1-0. And then in the third inning, he got a laid-off base hit as well again, stole second, and was able eventually to come around and score on a Evan Kell's base hit. So our two runs on the day were both credited to Sherm with those runs scored. And, you know, other people contributed with hits and just doing what they needed to do offensively to score a couple runs. And then, of course, with throwing Brandon Bornhorst, you know, he's been our horse for so long. And, you know, it's he only gave up one run on today. That one run was unearned, so he just threw awesome. And, you know, it seemed like Dumont was getting runners on every inning, whether it be a hit or an error. We had plenty of them. We had five of them, but we were able to work out of some jams with getting some extra outs on base paths, and then just buckling down defensively when we needed to, or Borney buckling down when we needed a strikeout. He was able to get them because, to me, on Sunday, he was just kind of – he was a dog out there. All he right. wanted it. He wasn't going to let anyone get him once Dumont scored that run to make it 2-1, and they had one of their good lefty hitters up. When the base opened, he didn't want to walk him. He wanted to go right after him, and we were able to get out of that inning. And it was fun to see that, Brandon Bornhorst. And we know the guy that we're going to get the rest of the playoffs with him, too.
Good. Yeah, I heard good things about that. So,
yep.
Good.
Yep, Brandon Bornhorst. Yeah, you can't say enough good things about him. No. So he is pretty mystery liable. So, yeah.
Been pitching for the Mallards for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been pitching, yeah, ever since high school. You know, I think he took a little bit of a break after, you know, their state baseball run. He threw a lot of pitches and everything, but no, he's been playing for quite some time. I think he's 30 years old, so hopefully he's got 10 years left in him or so. But, you know, you know, he's someone that all the pitchers, youngsters, should be watching him and learning from him. He works quick, so the defense can kind of get in a zone with him. You're not falling asleep behind him.
Yep.
And then he throws strikes. It is very rare that he walks anybody. You know, he did have one walk on the day, I believe, yep. But it's very rare. I mean, if he falls behind in the count, he knows that he needs to come back. And he locates well, changes everything up. And, yeah, just a good pitcher and a smart one.
Okay. Anything else on that game? Did you go through the stats?
Brandon, yeah, he had a complete game with the nine innings. Four strikeouts to one walk. He did give up the eight hits, but, you know, only one run from that, and that wasn't earned, like I said before. But, yeah, Landon Sherm, you know, I indicated he had a big day at the plate. He had three hits with that double and scored those two. Also had a walk. Carter Amland had a base hit. Evan Kells had a base hit and an RBI. Matt Munson had two hits and two base on balls. Blake Wolfschlager had a hit. And then, yeah, that ran it out the hitting. So two runs on the day, eight hits for us. Been hitting the ball a little bit better the last couple games from what we ended the regular season at. Hopefully it just continues on, and, you know, hopefully just clean up those defensive miscues that we've been having. And, you know, we march on to this game today.
All right, so that was a 2-1 win over Dumont last Sunday then.
Yep, 2-1 win over Dumont on Sunday. So I think, you know, in my 21-year Mallard career, I think we've maybe only beat Dumont 3 times, and I'm sure we've faced them 30 times or so when you include the playoffs. So we have not had much success against them, and it was just, very good to have it Sunday night here in Madison.
All right, well, let's talk about today, just a couple hours from now, up in Morris. Big game coming up.
Yep, yeah, so traveling to Morris this morning for a noon game with Mineota. Faced them at the end of the regular season, was a close game for that last game of the season. I think we lost that one 4-2, if I'm remembering correctly. But, you know, it seems like our games with Mineota traditionally are always close, so it should be a good game. You know, they were the one seed in the Land of Ducks, so, you know, we're familiar with their pitchers, they're familiar with ours. As you face each other enough, and we'll just have to see what happens. But you know, hopefully, we make a good go of it, play a sound game defensively, and give our pitchers a chance with scoring a few runs offensively.
Well, can you tell us about Mineota? You just played them a couple weeks ago, last regular season game, right?
Yep, yeah, last regular season game. You know, they hit the ball fairly well down in Mineota. They pretty much, I think, got a veteran pitching staff. You know, I would assume it's going to be Danny Hennen that they throw against us. I can't remember which Hennen had threw against us that last Sunday, but Danny wasn't around for that. But, you know, we faced them a lot. They're a quality ball club. They don't make a lot of mistakes. You know, I don't think they traditionally score a ton of runs, but they definitely don't give up very many runs either. So it's one of those games that I feel if we get up early with our pitching staff, it should be a close game, and we just got to play defense and be sharp. And, you know, hopefully we get that victory. And, you know, with it this year, it's with the region getting 3 teams in state tournament. If you win, you can get no worse than third. So it is the winner does qualify for the state tournament for town ball. So there's a lot at stake, and it should be a fun day.
How many times have the Mallards been to the state tournament?
And we've only been there once. We've had a couple times where we were a game away.
Well, your age, but in the 50s.
I have no idea. We need a historian. Okay. So. No, but I'm sure they had gone back in the day.
They did in 54. Yeah. I know they did in 54. I interviewed the Hanson boys.
Yeah, okay. Yep. 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 But the newest Mallards are from the restart in 04.
Yep.
Only one time. A couple times we've been one game away. But, that opportunity just hasn't come up as often as we would have liked.
Yep.
You know, we feel that we've had a decent enough team the last few years that, you know, it's hopefully that going forward we're in this position more often. And, you know, hopefully it's just something that we actually can accomplish here for us and for our fans.
All right. And then win or lose, you play tomorrow, too.
Yep, win or lose, we play Sunday. So, both those games would be in Morris. But, yeah, we win Sunday. We play at noon versus the winner of the Clinton-Morris game.
That's also to go to state.
That's also to go to state, yep. So those are winners bracket games. But then if we lose, we drop to the losers bracket and we play the winner of the Hancock-Benson game, and that would be at 5 o'clock on Sunday. If we lose, since we drop down to the losers bracket, we're then two wins away from going to state. So, you know, hopefully we just get the job done today.
Yep.
And then just keep moving forward. And, you know, the ultimate goal is, I guess, not only just to clinch that spot in the region tournament, but I guess, you know, win the region tournament. So that'd be a lot of fun. You know, the higher seed you get in your region tournament, you know, likelihood you're playing a lower seed from one of the other regions, and maybe increase your chances of possibly getting a victory at state too.
All right, Matt, thanks for coming in, and good luck today up in Morris.
Yep, thank you very much, Paul.
Matt Munson, manager of the Madison Mallards. We'll take a break and be right back with more of the Baseball Coaches Show after this.
Join the fun. It's the 126th Annual Swift County Fair in Appleton, August 14th through the 18th. Live music will include the White Sidewalls, Johnny Holm, Larry Olson Band, Phil Vassar, Ruckus, Neil McCoy, and Hell Country Truckers. Gig Noonan will be on stage. All kinds of other entertainment, Midwest rides, and concessions on the Midway. Check them out online at swiftcountyfair.org and make plans to be at the Swift County Fair in Appleton, August 14th through the 18th.
Summer's coming in hot. So it's time to cook up some fun at Mall of America because it's always a cool 72 and sunny here. Plus, all the summer best in one place. Join SpongeBob SquarePants 25th anniversary celebration. Get slimed at Nickelodeon Universe. Hit new heights on the Fly with Opera ride and Boots Banana Swing. It's shopping Nirvana, Crayola Experience Creativity, Hangout Heaven. Go all in on summer, all at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/summer.
This morning, Q92 Sports has Junior American Legion Baseball Playoffs. It's the championship game in the Southwest Division. Dawson will play Montevideo for the right to go to the Junior State Legion Tournament next week in St. Charles, Minnesota. First pitch, 11 o'clock from Madison Memorial. That's Dawson and Montevideo in Junior American Legion Baseball Playoffs. Thanks for listening to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. Tune in next week at 9 o'clock with more interviews with area baseball coaches right here on Q92. See you next Saturday morning. Have a great day.